Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, the CHOOSE Act passes. Also, the legislature considers bills on IVF. And the McCrary Institute in Auburn is set to lead in cybersecurity.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Godspeed, McCrary Institute. Godspeed. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issue so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire.
Howdy.
And Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter at APR. Welcome.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
So, after the Supreme Court of Alabama ruled that destroying frozen embryos is, in fact, murder, manslaughter. The Alabama legislature has been working very hard to find a legal fix for this religious decision that the Supreme Court made, saying that frozen embryos that have been fertilized mm-hmm. in a petri dish are, in fact, life, Susan. But now they've got to scramble and figure out how to fix this legislatively, if possible.
Yeah, well, the first thing is that the Alabama Supreme Court did not bother to find out what the process is in in vitro fertilization. They just brought out the Bible, laid it on the table, and decided, based on the Bible, what that was. I can tell you one thing for sure. If you do not implant that embryo inside a uterus, it will never become a human being. Okay, that's the first thing that they didn't bother. Meanwhile, you've got all these, you know, hundreds and thousands of you know, people out there who are trying to actually have a child that now the process has stopped for them. Yeah. UAB and other clinics have had to close because of the ambiguity of the law. They don't know what they can and cannot do. And we're talking about people who are paying $20,000 a month just to try to have a child have been stopped in their tracks.
Yes. And Josh, this is one of the big questions here. Is there, in fact, a legislative solution? They're moving forward with bills currently, but there is a big question out there is, can they do this? Can they enact a law that would assure big hospitals like UAB or the bigger clinics out here that do IVF treatments? Can they be convinced through this legislation that they're safe and won't somehow be charged with manslaughter later on?
I think there's a lot of really big questions about that. And because the main the main crux of a lot of these bills right now seems to be, yeah, we're just going to look the other way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those clinics are looking at it and saying, well, that's not good enough for us, and we're not going to be able to reopen.
Yeah.
These clinics if we don't do this. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, it's an opportunity for us to take a more scientific approach to this entire conversation. Because you're going to have to go in at some point. And, I believe Representative Chris England has said, he thinks that we're going to have a constitutional amendment to undo some of the sanctity of life amendments that we've put in, where, life begins at conception. Well, I think we're going to have to go in and kind of change that around a little bit. And it gives us an opportunity to maybe take a more scientific approach to this whole entire argument.
But the whole ruling by the Supreme Court was not, in fact, based on any scientific evidence.
No, it wasn't.
It was completely based on a religious belief, no different than what is believed in Wahhabism or by the Taliban in Muslim Sharia law. Now, they say this is their Christian law, but they're imposing the same type of religious bans, the same type of religious control over Americans, as if America's Constitution is meant to enforce Christian beliefs.
It is not. And each one of these representatives, you know, whether from the president on down, they take an oath to support the Constitution. And the one thing they've forgotten, apparently, because they a lot of them need to read it to start with, is that there is a separation of church and state there. And they're absolutely violating that in doing this because they're taking their religious beliefs and imposing on everybody, regardless of everybody else's religious beliefs.
Well, I think the problem is they don't believe there should be, just as
they don't, but that's just as that is not the oath they took.
Just as some in Islam and other religions do not believe that the government should be separated from religious beliefs.
But, and that's what got us where we are now.
There are a lot of different religious beliefs, right, Josh? I mean, we're not just talking about one, but you know, I mean,
it's listen, this is a. This is one of the things that has made America great was our religious freedoms and the fact that we based our laws not on religious texts and religious beliefs and so it didn't move the needle this way and you see what happens almost every single time when we forget that basic tenet of America and it always causes problems.
Yeah.
It always will and it always does, and that's what I'm saying. We've got to get away from this. Religious-based governance and the religious, and especially the religious-based legal opinions that seem to be dominating our state.
The only way we're going to get away from this is for the voters to get involved and start looking at the people that are representing them and deciding if that's what they actually want or not.
But the districts are so gerrymandered.
Oh, I know.
That there's no way to have a different outcome of the people that you elect. And the problem is, the people that run as Republicans now, and I know many of them don't believe a word that they say on this pro-life issue. They don't believe it.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's their daughters having abortions out of state too.
Right.
Right. But they have to say this because of a small percentage of the Republican Party base believes that these religious tenets are applicable to every American. I will end this by saying, I think that as Americans, we can hold two beliefs at one time, two thoughts. One, you can be pro-life and believe that life begins at conception and that all unborn children are in fact precious and deserve life. You can also hold the fact in your mind that that is not the function of government to mandate that. But these people do not seem to be capable of holding those two thoughts at the same time.
They want to control everything. Yeah. They want to control your every thought. I mean, we're getting into all these kind of sci-fi novels at this point where, you know, it's under thought control. So no matter what your belief, they're going to impose their belief on what your decision is.
Well, I feel more and more like we're headed towards Gilead and the Handmaid's Tale.
We are.
But we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to the V, the voice of Alabama politics. The dream has arrived.
It has.
Alabama has kowtowed to Wall Street and big business, mm-hmm. who has wanted to get their greasy little mitts on Alabama's school funds. This past week, the CHOOSE Act, Choose to Lose Act, passed, in which the state of Alabama will give parents $7,000 a year to send their children to a private school, of which most of them can't get into at $7,000 and wouldn't be able to get them there if they could. But again, let's take devil's advocate here and say, hey, this is a useful experience that will prove whether this works or not. But I will say this, that once Wall Street and the moneyed people get their hands on state education funds, they ain't giving it back, Susan.
No, they're not. And I think what we estimate, it was $87,000 per child over their education period.
As it's set up right now.
And if you think for 1 minute that this is going to, that's just going to go to the existing private schools, you're going to see private schools popping up all over Alabama. Everybody wants in on this money, because this is what it's about. It's about taking out the education trust fund money and giving it to private business.
Yeah.
Pure and simple.
Well, this has been going on for decades, mm-hmm. and it finally mm-hmm. reached a fever pitch to the point that Alabama said, hey, we'll give $100 million a year, Josh, just a few people, school choice people, shut up.
Oh, they're going to get more than that.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, you can bet that they're going to expand this, and there's not going to be a cap on this, and it's going to continue to grow exponentially over the number of years. And we've seen it all around. It's not like we're the first ones to do this.
No.
And so these people that are running around acting as if, we don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. Well, we can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to be the same as it is in all the surrounding states, where a record amount of money is going to come flying out of the education trust fund, and you're going to hurt public schools everywhere. In the meantime, it's going to go to people, the majority of which, 75%, I believe, in Tennessee right now, of the money is going to go to kids that have never attended a day of public school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A day. So that's where the money is going to go. It's going to go into these businesses that aren't held to the same standards, that aren't subject to the same oversight, that we can't monitor and control, and that we're never going to be able to judge on the same scale as we judge our public schools. In the meantime, our public schools are going to be stuck trying to serve the same population of students, for the most part, with far less money.
Right. I was talking to a policy guy the other day who said, the fact is, this is going to serve people like me very well, mm-hmm. because they're going to pay for my kid to go to private school. He said, the only reason I feel bad about it is because I can afford private school, and we're going to screw kids and families that can't.
Right, but they tout that, it
but
as,
he's a big Republican.
I know, but they tout it as though it's going to help underprivileged children. It's not. It's not going to help underprivileged children. Get that through your head.
It can't, because they can't get to these private schools.
Right.
Because they offer no transportation, Josh, or no free lunches.
And it doesn't pay all of the costs.
Yeah, there's no lunches. Yeah. Yeah, there's no lunches. There's no transportation. You look at it and you can see immediately that this is not an option that's going to help the neediest groups of kids among us. All right. And nobody even claims with a straight face that it is. Okay. It's going to, and people who say, well, it should be my choice to send my kids wherever I want to send them. It is your choice. Send them anywhere you want to go with them, my man. But you should pay for it and stop trying to use our money.
Well, I was thinking right then, and this is a thing that might help, is that we set up a bunch of private schools and, get somebody to subsidize them so that all kids can go there. Oh, we already have that. Public schools.
Yes. Yeah.
We could start some Obama charter schools. I bet you they'd want to pay a lot of money for that.
Well, this is something that we decided as a society that we should do, as a country, that we believe in an informed, educated society that is the betterment to all of us to do this. All right. That's the reason why we have public schools.
Yeah.
This, what you're doing is tearing that apart right now.
Yeah.
And you're doing it just out of pure greed.
Well, and that's all it is. I want to move on to this next, because this is something, excuse me, that could really be fantastic if it's implemented. And that is to allow the VA system to set up a system where we can have at least 25 outpatient hospitals or clinics for veterans, the people that deserve it.
Right. I'm very excited about this because, there is a high suicide rate for veterans right now. And in Alabama, it's around 18% of the state suicides. Now, you and I in our circle of friends have someone that experienced this recently. Yeah. And it's very profound. It's very, because of what this veteran is going through, he's got treatment now. He's good now. But, we need to have, the only options are to go to Birmingham and places like that. So we need more places where these veterans can go to get help.
Josh, we all owe a debt to these men and women who have served, especially in combat, so that we could sleep well at night. This is a small undertaking to do a great thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And, we should honestly be fairly ashamed that we've done such a poor job as it is in taking care of these people and not fulfilling the promises that we've kept. I mean, a lot of these cases, what we've asked of them is the reason why they struggle so mightily with a number of mental issues and things. And so this is our responsibility. We didn't go over there and fight. We didn't go and take these tasks on, and they did. And we owe this debt to them to help them with this. And the fact that we've turned our backs on them for so long is really an abomination.
It is. And it's a great looking piece of legislation. Mm-hmm. I hope that with all the nonsense that goes on down there, they can look to making some specialized care, some occupational therapy, some health care for our best and the bravest who have served in times of war.
Something positive coming out of the legislature for the state of Alabama.
Yep. All right. We're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, we're reimagining the possibilities.
It's time. Time we had someone in Congress fighting for us. As Democratic leader in the State House, Anthony Daniels helped steer millions of dollars into our district, fighting to raise wages, invest in our infrastructure, and create good jobs. Now he's passed a new law, removing state taxes on overtime pay, putting more money in our pockets. It's time for Anthony Daniels for Congress. One of us for all of us.
I'm Anthony Daniels, and I approve this message.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down. Be careful. Care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. Alabama has a new institution at Auburn University, the McCrary Institute for Cyber and Critical Infrastructure Security, which is poised to change the way we look at cybersecurity locally, nationally, and internationally. Susan, this is the McCrary Institute, led by some of the best and brightest in cybersecurity, wants to look at ways, critical ways, that we can implement cybersecurity across all platforms and all institutions so that America remains safe.
And we're talking about, and I hope I pronounce this right, Frank Sulufo,
I believe it is.
Yeah. We're talking about, this guy started out, you know, with after 9/11 with setting up Homeland Security. We're talking about some of the best and the brightest across the United States that they've drawn into this program.
Yeah.
They're also going to, my understanding is, mix not only cybersecurity, but with academia.
Yes.
And that they're going to help people start learning how to do this. Because as we advance in this, you know, our cyber world and our more in the information technologies, this is more and more of a critical need. As we've all seen, having been hacked for this or hacked for that, but when you're talking about, national levels, you're talking about on state levels, it becomes very important very fast.
Well, Josh, when I interviewed Mr. Sulufo, we talked about the fact that we always look at this as a foreign thing, a national security issue. But he said, you know, think about what happens when your electric grid gets hacked, or when your water supply gets hacked, and even when your medical information gets hacked. Mm-hmm. These are critical pieces of infrastructure that bad actors can go after just like that with a keyboard and an internet connection.
Yeah, you know, it's it can, there's a situation now currently ongoing and it's been going on for a long time with ransomware, where these hackers are going in and taking over information and then essentially holding it hostage and forcing businesses or city governments. I believe several years ago, the state of Alabama was forced into a situation where they had to pay a certain amount of money for these things. Yeah. So, yeah, this is something, and that's on a smaller scale. What you're talking about when we're talking about, you know, electrical grids and, you know, all of these other things, that those are scary situations, honestly, they are. What's happening there? If you look at the board of advisors at the McCrary Institute, and what Auburn's been able to do, it's an awesome group of people. Mm-hmm. It really is. I'm interested to see what that institute can do and how it can move not just Alabama and Auburn University forward, but also, you know, the entire country.
Well, you know, and Susan, you worked on Redstone Arsenal in the early days of the internet and also with the solid rocket motor. If you think about it, you could see that kind of cybersecurity popping up around Auburn the way that things did in Huntsville, given the next 30, 40, 50 years.
Absolutely, absolutely. As we all know, Huntsville was very small. And then as NASA expanded, as the space program expanded, so did Huntsville. Yeah. And so it's quite possible that the same thing is going to happen in Auburn.
And what they're saying, and this is very different than what everybody else is how do you take a lot of theoretical solutions and break them down into practical, actionable application? And that's one of the big things they're looking at. Mm-hmm. Unlike what our legislature is doing, Josh, when it comes to gaming. How is that for a segue?
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, very little practicality, I can tell you that.
Very little.
Covering it, Josh, can make your head spin. What are you seeing?
Yeah, it is. It is one of the more frustrating things to see. I mean, this is people have shown this is very popular legislation. They want the opportunity to vote on the lottery and casinos and sports wagering. We have them all around us, and the people of Alabama want to do this. And we have, you know, a number of issues with gaming currently going on in the state. But you have a select few individuals in the Senate, and we're talking about three or four guys at this point, and they're holding up the entire process, and that's a problem. I think that you know we've got to figure out something to move this forward.
Yeah.
And right now they don't have a solution. They just don't want to do what's on the table.
What's funny is thing, Alpha, which is an insurance company, you know, their political arm, is dead set against this, and they're costing votes. Mm-hmm. Now later on, they're going to have legislation introduced that would allow them to sell health insurance outside of the normal parameters of health insurance. You know, if I were Governor Kay Ivey, I would tell them they could kiss their insurance business goodbye anyway, but especially if they go against her wishes on this gaming bill. You know, it's like, why would I care about you?
Right. And they've made a robust effort, them and API, to fight this tooth and nail, to the point that Josh was talking to, I believe it was Albritton the other day, who said he talked to a legislator and he said, okay, what problems do you have with, it was a legislator, a senator. What problems do you have with this bill? Okay, I'll fix that. Okay, we can add that in. All right. Now, everything, I'm going to give you everything you want. Will you vote for the bill? No.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh, I mean, again, and they have every phony excuse in the world to not vote for this, and they want to kill it because of their taskmasters who pay their bills and who back their campaigns, mm-hmm. and the Mississippi Choctaw probably,
yep.
and any other tribal gaming and other institutes that do not want this. And there's, it's just phoniness.
Yeah, no, it's a big problem. And, you know, here's the thing that I tell a lot of people. Last year in this state, there were more than $2 billion worth of bets made on sporting events.
Wow.
$2 billion in this state where gambling is illegal. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't receive any revenue from those wagers that were placed.
Just unbelievable. Right?
They were placed on illegal sites. They were placed on offshore casino websites. They were, you know, there were a number of bets made like that. That doesn't count for all the times, all millions of dollars that people have spent going to play lotteries in other states,
right.
And other casinos. All right. So we're losing out on all of that. And we have all the problems that you're claiming that gambling brings.
Yep.
But we have none of the revenue to address any of those problems,
right.
or to have any of the job growth right. and things that we could have.
Well, you're correct, but we're going to have to leave it right there. You've been watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.